Please open your Bibles to John chapter 6 as we continue our study there this morning. John chapter 6. Four things for us to consider this morning. Four things. Certainties. The certainty of their pre-existence of Christ, the certainty of God's will, the certainty of eternal keeping, and the certainty of eternal life. I'll repeat those, Lord willing, as we go along. But we're here in John 6, picking up where we left off. In John 6, verse 35, we'll read that again, and our focus will be on one of the verses in here, verse 38 through 40. Let's look at verse 35. Jesus said to them, to the crowd, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. Father, again, I ask for your strength. I ask for your power. I ask indeed that you would bless this time, that your word would go forth as you would have it. In Jesus' name, amen." In our life, we're faced with a lot of uncertainties. We are close to beginning a new year, 2022. 2021, we faced a lot of uncertainties, didn't we? And in 2022, no doubt we will face uncertainties as well. There's a lot of uncertainties as we go through life. Uncertainties of how a job will go, uncertainties of one's health. There's an old saying that goes something like this: there's nothing certain in life but death and taxes. Or we could say, in certain areas of the country, death and high taxes. But indeed, this really is a worldly saying, because as Christians, we have certainties in life because of who God is and because what He has done for us. God's decrees, His plans are certain. His promises are certain. The outcome of the child of God is certain. So as we look at certainties this morning, we have first and foremost the certainty of the pre-existence of Christ. Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven." Oftentimes when we meet with someone, we say, "Where are you from? Where have you come from?" Jesus has come from heaven. Jesus came down from heaven for a specific reason. The thought of Christ coming down from heaven is repeated several times in this discourse. Most notably in verse 51, "I am the bread that came down out of heaven." Jesus, when he says, "I have come down from heaven," he is unmistakably making another claim of deity. Where he is from, where he came from. He is not of this world, he came from heaven. This is a claim of what is known as the pre-existence of Christ. God is eternal. Jesus is the Son of God. Therefore, Jesus is God, and therefore, Jesus is eternal. Jesus was not created. If he were only a man, he would not have existed before the conception in Mary's womb. But indeed, He is eternal. John 8:23, I'll just read these for you. You are from below, Jesus says, I am from above. You are of this world, Jesus says, I am not of this world. He also says, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. When Jesus prays in John 17, He says, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. In 16:28, Jesus says, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. He says in 3:13, no one has ascended from heaven, but He who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus Christ existed before His conception and birth. As Stuart Allott puts it, His birth did not mark His origin, but only His appearance as a man on the stage of history. Paul in Colossians tells us, Christ is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Hebrews tells us He has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom He also made the world. Point for us is that He is from heaven, further proving that He is who He says He was, that indeed Jesus Christ is God. And He tells that to His hearers as well. No one else can say that I have come down from heaven. We have, secondly, the certainty of God's will. As we look at the certainties in the Christian life, the certainty of God's will. Jesus says, I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, He says, but the will of Him who sent me. He came down to do the will of God. He says in chapter 4, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. He also says, I do not seek my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. You see, there is perfect unity within the Godhead, within the Trinity. And also, as Jesus submitted to the Father, to the will of His Father on this earth, theologians speak of what is known as the passive obedience of Christ and the active obedience of Christ. The passive obedience of Christ, as one theologian puts it, is Christ's submission to God's purpose that He suffer and die for our sins. And the active obedience, same theologian puts it this way, Christ's keeping of the commandments of God revealed in His Word. Jesus, the God-man. And when He says, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me, this goes back to the covenant that God the Father and God the Son have made. Same theologian puts it this way, in the work of salvation, the Father and the Son are completely at one. The Father given the believing community to the Son receiving and guarding those who come to Him because He is utterly devoted to the Father's will. The doing of the Father's will is the purpose of His coming into the world, and it is the very sustenance of His life on earth. Application for us as we consider the life of Jesus, as we consider His mindset, was to do the will of God. We say we want to be like Jesus Christ. Well, we want to do God's will. Oftentimes, when we come to a crossroads, we find ourselves saying, I want to do God's will. Or, I want to do the will of God. Or asking God, what is your will in this? Or pleading with God, show me your will, O God. Well, knowing God's word takes a lot of the stress and anxiety out of wanting to know God's will. Scripture lays out for us who God is and how we are to live in obedience to Him. Believing God and obeying His word, it clears up a lot when things are nebulous in our thinking, doesn't it? And then we have a council of godly people to look to for biblical advice. When we want to know what is God's will in this situation. We come to a crossroads, a decision where there is not necessarily a right or wrong. It's not necessarily black and white. And we say, what do I do here, oh God? Well, we come to a point where a decision just has to be made. And we want to honor God. Well, first we seek God's word, right? And then we seek God's face, or we seek God's face, then we seek God's word, His face in prayer, and seeking His word, say, what does God say about this? And then godly counsel. But then when we receive this godly counsel, it is our responsibility to take it and to heed it and to not say, okay, well, I'll do it my way. And then we have to make a decision, don't we, at times when we come to a crossroads. We say, I want to honor God. I want to do His will. I want to seek God's face. I want to seek God's word. I get godly counsel, and then I got to make a decision. And then move on. Also, a little side note for us when we consider God's will, we need to be consistently and constantly seeking to cultivate in our lives discernment. Spiritual discernment. Rich is leading the men on Saturday morning on a book by Tim Challies, The Discipline of Spiritual Discernment. Spiritual discernment doesn't come by just showing up. You know, we're saying, okay, I'll just do this and do that. No, it's something we have to cultivate. Cultivate that we can see what is clean and unclean. See what would please God, what would not please God, what is questionable, and we need discernment on, and what is clearly laid out for us. We see the certainty of the preexistence of Christ, the certainty of God's will. And then we see here the certainty of eternal keeping, or the perseverance of the saints. This is the will of Him who sent me, says the Lord. He gets specific here. For He says, I've come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of Him who sent me. What is it? That all that He has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. So here we see more of a general, I've come here to do God's will, more to a particular. All that God the Father has given me, says Jesus, I lose nothing, but I raise it up on the last day. And in verse 40, this explains it further, as we'll see. This is covenant of redemption talk. Again, all that the Father has given to the Son. This is all of those in verse 37. All that the Father gives to me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, says the Lord Jesus Christ, I will by no means, no way, not going to happen, no means will I cast them out. Remember that double negative in the Greek. This is the same as those in verse 40. All, for this is the will of my Father. Everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life. And Christ will raise up on the last day. Everyone who beholds the Son believes in Him having eternal life. This is the elect, those chosen before the foundation of the world. Those who respond to the gospel call of Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. All that the Father gives to the Son Jesus Christ, says, I lose nothing. I lose none of them. Why not? Why doesn't He lose anything? Why does He lose nothing? Because they're held by His power, not man's power. And certainly not by man's will. We have a certainty of eternal keeping. Jesus says, I lose nothing. Christ keeps his sheep. Christ guards his sheep. His sheep are eternally secure because Christ is the shepherd and guardian of their souls. As John 10 says, a few verses, if you're in 6, you want to go to 10, go for it. Chapter 10, verse 27. Well, first, Jesus says, 25, Jesus again asserting his deity. When someone may say to you, well, I believe Jesus is a prophet or a good man, but he never claimed to be God. It is, the Gospel of John is laced with Christ's claims of deity. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name. These testify about me. Remember the reason why people will not believe, because of the radical total depravity of man. Because man is dead in sin, and without Christ, without God moving on their behalf, will remain in that state. But he says, verse 26, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, says Christ. I know them, and they do what? They follow me. They don't follow some other shepherd. They follow Jesus Christ. And I give eternal life to them, he says. And they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. Praise God, he holds us in his hand. He holds us fast. Steve Lawson says, as we go back to chapter 6, Steve Lawson says, if Christ starts with 100 sheep, he brings 100 sheep safely with him to glory. Were he to lose any of his sheep, that would be an indictment against his shepherding. Indeed, when God regenerates a soul, he rescues them from slavery to sin. They are no longer in bondage to sin, no longer in bondage to Satan any longer. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Yet in this life, we still have indwelling sin in us. We must fight and seek to continually put to death sin and press on in holiness. That's our responsibility as Christians. And we must be on guard. We must watch. We must pray. We are capable, brother and sister, we are capable of horrific sins that would grieve God, that would hurt others, that would wound our own soul. We have not arrived, yet we belong to Christ, and he loses nothing. We have been confronted with verse after verse of the sovereignty of God in salvation. Yet we notice that man has total responsibility. God elects, man is responsible. God chooses, man must respond. God makes our believing response possible. Not ability, responsibility. Not will or desire to choose God, but a responsibility to follow after Christ. If you will be saved, you must behold and believe and come to Christ. The doctrine of election and perseverance of the saints is often vigorously rejected and resisted by people. It goes against man's sinful desires of wanting to have the ball in his court, of wanting to be in control, of wanting a supposed free will to do what they want. We want to land with what the Bible teaches. That's where we want to land. That's where we want to live, brothers and sisters. The Bible teaches election and perseverance of the saints. It teaches responsibilities of sinners to submit to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I lose nothing. To teach that man and to believe that man can, who has been converted, can walk away from their salvation, that is an indictment against Christ. Christ says, I lose nothing. You're going to say, Jesus? Well, you're going to lose something. No, he loses nothing. Because it's all of God. 1 Peter. One, 3-5, I'll just read it for us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and it is undefiled and will not fade away. It is reserved in heaven for you. No cancellations on this reservation. Amen. Who are protected by the power of God. Not my will, my choice. By the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Indeed. Psalm 37, 23, 24, I'll read it for you as well. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Not man holding the Lord's hand. He holds his hand. If you're going to cross a main intersection, traffic everywhere, cars speeding and there's no crosswalk, you're going to cross the road with little Johnny, little Noah, whatever it is, and you're going to say, what are you going to do? You're going to hold their hand, especially as they're looking. You're not going to rely on them to hold on to you. You're going to grab them and take them across. The Lord is the one who holds our hand. We have the certainty of the preexistence of Christ, the certainty of God's will. And as Christ was submitted to do the will of the Father as the God-man, the certainty of eternal keeping. Jesus says, I lose nothing. And we have also the certainty of eternal life. All that he, being God the Father, has given me, says the Lord, I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day. This continues on into verse 40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. Jesus is going to raise people up on the last day. We ask, who? Who are these people that Jesus is speaking about in chapter 6? I lose nothing, but I raise it up on the last day, and I myself will raise him up on the last day? Who is this? Who are these? These are all who believe and behold the Son, which are those who the Father has given to the Son, which are those for whom Christ died particularly, which are also those who come to Christ, which are those who Christ will not cast out, the ones whom he will not lose are the ones that he will raise up on the last day. Romans 8:30, these whom he predestined, he also called. These whom he called, he also justified. These whom he justified, he also glorified. Everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. Everyone who looks to the Son with the eye of faith and believes in him by faith will have eternal life. It's actually a present active indicative, I believe, that he may continue having eternal life. Once a child of God has eternal life, he, she has eternal life. He does not, she does not lose this eternal life. Jesus says in 3:15 of John, whoever believes in him will have eternal life. That's a possession. We'll have eternal life. Not going to lose this eternal life, but we'll have it. 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but instead, but the wrath of God abides on him. Notice the contrast. Looking to the Son of God, believing on him, beholding him and no other, recognizing him as the way, the truth, and the life, looking to Christ, all who are sin-stricken, who look to Christ and believe on him, will have eternal life. That is a certainty. When God converts a person, they have eternal life. Then, at that moment, and when they take their last breath, when they're about to enter into eternity, they still have eternal life. It is a present possession for the Christian. The moment we are born again, we become a recipient of eternal life, something that we cannot lose because it was not ours to begin with. Christ loses nothing. Philippians 1:6, he being God who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. What an encouraging verse as we struggle through, as we try to navigate through life now. He who began a good work in me, in you, will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Why? Because you have eternal life. Why? Because you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you are the elect chosen by God. Why? Because Jesus loses nothing. So he will continue to do that work in you. I describe sanctification like the stock market. Whether it be deflation, inflation, or whatever inflation. Up and down, up and down. Sometimes we have crashes in our sanctification. Sometimes we're in the green, and then it gets rocky. Thomas Watson says, he reminds us that God the Father establishes, God the Son confirms, God the Holy Ghost seals, so that it is the power of God that keeps us. We are not kept by our own power. Ephesians 1:13 says, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Christians, we are sealed. We have the certainty of the preexistence of Christ, another proof of his divinity, that he came from heaven. The certainty of God's will. Christ came to do God's will. In our lives, we want to do God's will. And we see and can understand God's will from the Scriptures. And when things are difficult for us, we seek his face, then we seek his Scripture, then we seek godly counsel. And then we have to make a decision, don't we, sometimes? And then the certainty of eternal keeping. Christ loses nothing. And the certainty of eternal life. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the operation of the Holy Spirit makes our perseverance possible. So the question for all in here, as we consider this, as we consider application, as we consider these certainties, are these certainties true of your life? More specifically, do you have eternal life? Have you passed from condemnation to acceptance? Accepted by Christ. Oftentimes we talk about, so-and-so has accepted Christ. Well, has he accepted you? Has he received you? Have you passed from death to life? There is a day of judgment coming. That is another certainty, where there will be no appeals. There will be no pardons then. But for the believer, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, and we do not fear His wrath and judgment in His coming because we are His. But there is a day of judgment coming for the unbeliever. This is a certainty. Do you know for certain that you are His and that He is yours? Do you know what is uncertain in life? There's a lot of uncertainties. You know what's uncertain in life, but God knows for certain? The day that you and I will take our last breath. It could be today, shockingly for us. It could be the youngest in this room, gone. It could be the most senior person in this room, gone. Be certain that you belong to Christ. Certain that you have repented of your sin and placed your trust in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your souls. And for us who know Christ, we look to the certainties that Christ gives us. He is our hope. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the certainties that we find in your word, the certainties that Christ explained, the certainties that we can see and we can take today and be reminded of today, Lord. God, as we may seek to further look into this text, your will in the coming days, the certainty that you will raise us up, the certainty of the judgment. Oh God, give us a hope. Renew our hope in you, for we have certainties because of who you are. And it is indeed certain that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he loses nothing that is his. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.